Welcome back to another episode of Obsessed with Death. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and support the podcast. Today's episode is with Kyle Sherwood, the co-founder of Save My Ink Forever, which is a post-mortem tattoo preservation service, the only one of its kind currently in the world. The idea is basically creating a service to create a memorial option for people who want to save a tattoo of a loved one who's passed away. Really great conversation. Kyle was incredibly open and honest about everything that comes with creating this service and how some people don't necessarily agree with it. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. I'm really excited for you to check it out. Of course, please continue to support the podcast, share the episodes, tell a friend. All of that stuff helps so much. And please enjoy another episode of Obsessed with Death. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, my pleasure, man.
Yeah. Excited to chat today. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love if you could just sort of give us a quick little introduction, you know, who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Kyle Sherwood. I am co-founder of Save My Ink Forever, the company that specializes in postmortem tattoo preservation. We are the only company in the world that offers that service.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's what got my attention. It's why I wanted to talk to you. I definitely want to get into that. Before we get into that though, I do have, a few other things I'd like to talk about, and something we sort of always start the episode with is, you know, I'm curious what your relationship with death is like. You know, obviously you have this career, this world that you're living in, but just more on like a day-to-day sort of personal, you know, relationship. Like, do you think about death a lot? Is it something that worries you? What's the relationship like?
Well, my relationship is quite intimate because I started off my career as a mortician. I'm a third generation mortician, so I kind of grew up in a funeral home running around in my Huggies training pants. And then even before that, I had a childhood cancer where I was given an 8-week prognosis. I got my wish granted through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So even if I don't want to think about it, I'm forced to because, you know, I'm faced with it daily. So I know it quite well. I've seen just about any way that, someone can meet their end.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a valuable lesson in the sense that, you know, it teaches you your own mortality. So you kind of walk that fine line of living life to the fullest.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, you mentioned being a third generation mortician and sort of growing up in this world. Do you think that that may have, how did that sort of navigate you through cancer at such a young age? Do you feel like that was something that helped you?
Well, no, because I was 3 years old when I had cancer. So,
okay. So the thought process wasn't really even there.
Right. No, the thought process wasn't even there, you know, with the whole cancer thing. At 3 years old, of course, they give you kind of like a counselor that, you know, you can talk to. But at three, you know, you don't really recognize your own mortality, so to speak.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But no, it was one of those things where, you know, and I don't even remember like my first memory of like actually understanding, because for me, you know, as a child being at the funeral home, obviously I couldn't go in the prep room, but, you know, I remember specifically being a kid and seeing, you know, my dad and granddad going into this room and I wasn't allowed in it. So, you know, kind of curiosity, I would always kind of peek when they turn the light on and, you know, you get that little glimpse as the door is closing. So I remember that pretty vividly as a kid, you know, wondering, you know, what was in this room. And, you know, you could kind of catch a glimpse, but even so, it doesn't register what that, you know, fully is. And, you know, growing up, you know, eating around the dinner table, I remember, you know, kind of having those conversations and talking about work. And then, as I grew up, I kind of laughed because, it's such an everyday thing, and it was just something that you so plainly talked about that sometimes I would forget my surroundings, and that like people around me, at a restaurant or something, weren't so comfortable talking about it or hearing about it.
Yeah, I mean that's like very, very relatable. I feel like part of the reason why I have this podcast is because I'm like always wanting to talk about this stuff, and some people aren't into it. It makes people uncomfortable, rightfully
Right.
so. I
Yeah.
get that, you know. So it's like you do sort of have to learn, you know, you got to pick your spots, I guess, a little bit
Right. Yeah.
better.
Your safe places.
Exactly. Yeah. How old were you when they started letting you into these rooms and letting you sort of become more of a part of what the, you know, the family business was?
So I started kind of like working at the funeral home when I was like 13, which was, basic. When I say 13, I don't mean like, I was in the prep room,
Sure.
helping my dad. But like washing cars, setting up flowers, things like that. And then I actually, I guess had like a recognizable position, at 16 when they could, legally sign off on the fact that, I was working. So at 16 years old is when I kind of moved into dressing and casketing and, helping for the, we call them layouts, helping for the layouts.
That's pretty incredible. It's 16 still, I mean, I guess, right? That seems like
Yeah,
the
so it's
appropriate age. It still seems
yeah
kind of young, right?
it's crazy to think about. I'll be 35 in August, and it's like the only job that I've ever had. So just to think, like, when I tell people, oh, I've been doing this for 19 years, you get this strange look, like, what? Because they look at me and they're like, well, you don't look old enough to be doing it for 19 years. So
Yeah.
it's always kind of a story that goes along with it.
I mean, was there ever a point in your life where you're like, maybe I want to try something different, or did you just sort of enjoy the work immediately?
Well, so for me, and I'll tell you, for me, I've always had kind of like an artist mind. So like growing up, I wanted to do something with art, and I was in accelerated art programs. And the responsible side of me was like, okay, well, it is pretty hard to provide for a family, on an artist's pay. They don't call it a starving artist for no reason, and that's not a
Sure.
knock to any artist, but
Yeah.
generally most artists end up making their money after they've already passed away.
Yeah.
So I, kind of thought like, okay, well, the embalming aspect of it can be my artistry because you're, restoring people to how they looked when they were living. And that's what makes you, a good embalmer. And you're giving someone a chance to, say their goodbyes one last time. And unfortunately, not everyone that passes away is, at the ripe age of 100 years old, and not everyone passes away peacefully in their sleep. So, like anytime I get the chance to do restorative work, is where kind of my artist mind goes to work. Along with that, I feel that if you have an artist mind, you can appreciate all forms of art, whether it be, cooking or painting or, acting. So I appreciate, art, and that's again one of the driving factors to why we started doing the tattoo preservation, not only from a memorial aspect within the funeral industry, but saving this art because some of the work that these tattoo artists are able to do today is absolutely insane. And we
Yeah.
feel like some of these tattoo artists are, modern day Rembrandts and Michelangelos. They just don't always get the credit that they deserve because of their medium, which is ink and skin, instead of, parchment and paint.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you were still able to find a way to sort of, you know, follow this artistic avenue that you're looking for, even while staying in, you know, what you would consider the family business. And it absolutely is art. I think a lot of people don't realize that or don't think about it that way. And I think a big part of that, obviously, is they just don't want to think about the idea
Right,
of
their own
somebody.
mortality and right.
Yeah. But there's beauty in all of it, especially in death. And I think that there is a ton of value, obviously, in what you're doing for the families. And I love that. I mean, even for someone like me who's thinking about this stuff and talking to people all the time about it, I've never really considered it as like an avenue for an artist, but it absolutely is. It sort of takes us in the direction now of this tattoo preservation, because I'm so curious. I love what you guys are doing. I love the idea of saving artwork. I have tattoos. I have a lot of tattoos. I love the idea of being able to preserve some of them, especially because most of my tattoos were done by people I
Right.
care about a lot. I was able to talk to a couple of my buddies who are tattoo artists, and I let them know about, this episode that we were doing and what we were going to be talking about. And the light in their eyes when I mentioned what was going on, like they were, it was genuine excitement in all of them to hear that something like this was happening. Every single one of them was like, I could absolutely tell you specific tattoos I would love for, somebody to be able to preserve at some point. And there's, again, this value in something that I don't think a lot of people realize. So I'm curious. I'd love to know, where this sort of idea came from. I did a little bit of research, and I assume, there has been historical elements. There are tattoos that have been saved. I'm not sure how it works. I'd love to.
Well, right. We're not the first people to do it. It was big in Japan. Obviously, the doctor there that was preserving the Yakuza bodysuits, pirates did it. But so how it all kind of started is naturally being morticians. Any one of our friends that have any death-related questions, naturally come to us. And so we had a buddy that approached us that was like, I really want to have this done. So, we kind of started getting into it, doing our research, and we're like, okay, there are, 100 million people in the United States with tattoos. And we saw kind of the progression of tattoos and how they've become, more socially acceptable, how it's our generation and the younger generations that are really, making a drive to, take the taboo away from the tattoos in general. Because, up until very recently, tattoos were kind of taboo in the sense that, you were an inmate or you were only in the military or, you were in the motorcycle culture. Now everyone has tattoos, whether it be doctors, lawyers, all walks of life. So we're like, okay, there is definitely the numbers there. And then we said, okay, well, this is something we want to pursue. How do we do it? And so we were actually giving away free tummy tucks. And so what we would do is we would pay for the individual's tummy tuck, but they would get like six tattoos in that area that was going to be excised. They would donate us the tattoos, and in turn, they got their tummy tucks. So those were kind of our practice tattoos, if you will. We've got how we could do it, and then the numbers are there, but it was in like from the funeral standpoint, we realized as a tattooed individual myself and the appreciation of art, we realized that, tattoos tell a story and tattoos have meaning. And just like you pointed out, a lot of your good friends, did your tattoos. And so there's the significance behind that. People get matching tattoos and with their loved ones, or dedicate tattoos to, family members and relatives. And we kind of said, there's your meaning. And not only from the meaning standpoint of the tattoo, because obviously all the tattoos that we preserve aren't, always these, works of art, so to speak, but the meaning behind it, something as simple as a frog, or, something as simple as a SpongeBob tattoo, but the meaning behind that, you can't take it away from that individual. There's all kinds of ways to memorialize someone, whether it be having ashes turned into stones or jewelry, even breaking it down to mothers saving pieces of umbilical cords or children's teeth. The Victorians used to do locks of hair. So once you take the knee-jerk reaction away from, the fact that that is skin, you're right, it is skin, but it is still a portion of your loved one, and it's an imagery that you were used to seeing on your loved one daily. So from the funeral side of it, you get these people that want these customized funerals. We're getting away from the cookie cutter funerals. You want this customization where they're customizing caskets or getting an urn that represents something that they did. What's more customized than the actual, tattoo itself?
Yeah, and I think it's a really interesting point that you bring up as well, with other things that we save from people, right? Like from a mom having a box of children's teeth in the closet, or having someone's ashes, right? I think, or I can at least speak for myself. When you think about the idea of saving a tattoo, my mind immediately goes to like the process of how you do it, right? I think that might be what gives people this sort of weird feeling about it, because the idea is like it seems like a rough process, but I don't know what the process is at all. I'm just thinking about you like ripping the skin off of a
Sure, and
person, you know?
again, that's the kind of the knee-jerk reaction,
Totally.
but in the same token, the process of embalming.
Yeah.
I mean, we in essence, the process of embalming is preserving an entire body, and people still have embalming, but what is the process behind embalming? Is that something that people don't want to think about? No, but they're still okay with doing it because when it comes down to it, you're getting down to your own needs of needing to see that person again and say your goodbyes one last time. Whereas with this tattoo, that's the same thing. We get people that are like, I've got their tattoo and I feel like they're at peace. I feel like they're at home and I get to look at that piece of them every single day. So, we've gotten comments from families that are like, I couldn't imagine getting an urn back and the funeral director saying, "Here you go. Here's your son or husband or daughter or wife," or, spending $5,000 to go to a cemetery to visit a rock because it has their name on it. It's not only the imagery of it, but you have a piece of that person with you, at all times. And similar to, people having keepsake urns. The idea behind that is so that they can have that person with them. And so I'm not one to, take the meaning or take the reasoning behind why they do that, because everyone has their own, ways of grief. So for me, if you're not hurting anybody, who am I to say you can't have that tattoo?
100% in agreement. I think that there's an incredible value in having a tattoo of somebody. Just sort of like what you were saying. Like I think people are gonna get, I don't know if enjoyment is the right word, but they're going to sort of, I would assume they'd have like maybe more of a peace, a peaceful feeling that there's such a better connection there when you're actually looking at a piece of this person.
Right, it is them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I am curious though. I mean, I don't know how in detailed you could get, but what is the process like to do something like this?
Well, it's actually a simple process. So when we say we excise the tattoo, we're only after the dermis or the skin. So we're not going into any muscle tissue. We're not going into any adipose or fat tissue. We're just after the actual skin. No more skin is taken than what we need to actually do the preservation process. There's worse things or more invasive things that can happen. I mean, an autopsy is very invasive.
Yeah.
Organ donation is very invasive. So in the grand scheme of things that could be invasive or done after passing away, this is very minor.
And then what do you do next? Is there like is there any sort of preservation to the skin? I've seen some photos of like these like framed tattoos. What do you have to do to sort of get the final product?
Well, so again, it is kind of a proprietary process, so we do keep it very secretive. You have a
Okay.
better odds of getting the Coke recipe, from Coca-Cola. But
Okay, all
basically,
right.
what we do is, we work hand in hand with the funeral homes. We work with them to excise the tattoo. We do have proper authorization forms, which keeps everything legal. legal, and that authorization form gives permission to excise tissue for the purpose of preservation, which is what we are doing. We send a kit to the funeral home, and within that kit is a dry preservative that the tattoo goes into, which is what keeps the tattoo safe until it gets to us for the actual preservation process. And within our preservation process, and one of the things that we were most proud about, a few things. Number one, within our process, faded tattoos become more clear. So, you know, that old tattoo that grandpa had from World War II that's, you know, all faded and unrecognizable becomes recognizable. And a prime example of that is we did an old Sailor Jerry tattoo. That, you know, wasn't so much a dancing girl anymore, but by the time we were done with it, you could recognize it was the hula girl.
I love that.
Another thing in our process, colors become more vibrant. So the reasoning behind that is because you have 7 layers of skin. And when someone tattoos, you know, that ink is sitting in the second, third layer of skin. And as you've had your tattoo for a longer period of time, the body, being the miraculous thing that it is, for whatever reason, draws the ink deeper into the skin instead of pushing it out because it recognizes that ink as a foreign substance. So because it draws it, you know, into the further layers of the skin, that's why they become more faded. So we'll actually kind of clean the skin, sometimes remove that top layer of skin, which is why the tattoos become more vibrant and more clear, like cleaning a dirty window, because you're getting closer to where the ink is actually sitting within the skin. So that's kind of one of the things in our process. And then our framing is all done up to archival standards. So, you know, museum quality glass, hermetically sealed. And we then, you know, ship it back to the family. So that's kind of our process in a nutshell without giving too much away.
I understand you wanting to keep the family recipe a secret. I respect that. In that essence of sort of keeping, some stuff to yourself as, again, the sort of family recipe, where do you sort of see this going? Do you want this to become just part of your family business and sort of just continue the work you're doing, or would you like to see this sort of expand and grow and become, I could see this becoming a more popular thing. I don't know why it isn't already. Do you have bigger plans than what you're already doing? I mean, I'm
Of
curious as to
course.
how you would, if you would be interested in expanding on what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, so we've got, you know, a lot of pans in the oven, so to speak. But yeah, no, I'm definitely looking an expansion. But the problem is when you're writing the book on something, you know, when you're cutting the trail, it takes you a little longer than when
Sure.
trails are already cut, you know.
Yeah.
But we're looking to expand to have this, you know, something that we can offer to everybody. Right now, you know, we have Canada, United States, the UK, but you know, we've gotten a ton of inquiries from, you know, Australia and Brazil and Argentina. So it's something that naturally we want to be available to the entire world. There's talks of, you know, possibly opening them up a museum for some of those top tier artists, you know, the top
Yeah.
1%, where they could have kind of a tattoo gallery of, you know, these Rembrandts and Michelangelos within the tattoo community. Yeah, in the long run, of course, we want this to be something that is offered to everyone because, you know, one thing that we've figured out is the love of tattoos and the meaning behind tattoos is something that's universal, kind of like food. You know, sitting down and having a meal with someone, you know, it brings every culture, every walk of life together. And we feel that tattoos have that same kind of property and essence. So, yeah, it's something that we definitely want to offer to, you know, everyone in the world.
And when you mentioned that you send these kits to the funeral homes, that's something, at least like you mentioned, within the United States. So if somebody in, California wants to do this, can you ship the kit to California and then they're shipping it back to you? Is that sort of the process here?
Right. So that is another thing being in the funeral industry. We did not want want this to this being done to inhibit any other funeral arrangements, whether the person's being cremated or having an open casket viewing. So obviously in that sense, it wouldn't make sense to ship someone, to us here in Ohio. So we have it set up to where the person stays where they pass away. We work with that funeral home. We send the kit. The tattoo is the only thing that comes to us. So again, we do not inhibit any funeral arrangements, but yeah, we send our kit to the UK, Canada.
Got
We
it.
we've sent it all over.
You know, because I read there was an article a friend actually sent to me about what you guys were doing, and you're in Ohio, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So
I don't want to hear any Ohio comments in there like, "Oh, this is so Ohio." Come on, guys.
I've got nothing for you. I love it. I just, again, without really doing any research at first, I just remember thinking like, oh, this is really cool. But I didn't think about it in the sense of like, well, I guess you got to be in Ohio to do this, right? You just assume this is an Ohio thing that's happening. It really is relatively simple. So if people are looking to have this done and aren't in Ohio, is there what's the process? How do they reach out to you? What could they do to get this done outside of Ohio?
So a few things. Number one, we have our contact number on our website as well as our email. So you can just reach out to us directly saying, someone has passed away. All we would need then is, the name of the person that passed away, the next of kin, so we can get them the authorization forms and what funeral home they are working with. Right now, it does have to be a family-owned funeral home. Corporate-owned funeral homes will not work with us yet. Not a slap to corporate-owned funeral homes. If anyone from SCI or Dignity is listening, give us a call so we can work something out. But as of right now, it does have to be a family-owned funeral home. And we, again, would then contact the funeral director. We would send the funeral home our instructional video on how to, effectively excise the tissue. And another thing that we offer is we actually have tattoo life insurance policies, for anyone that wants to pre-plan this so that, in other words, you don't have to have, money up front because you're making these payments on your tattoo insurance policy so that when the time comes, your family would just have to, cash in the policy with us and all expenses are taken care of. So we cover, kind of at need, if you will, which is kind of funeral jargon, at need or when someone has, already passed away, or pre-need, for anybody trying to pre-plan for their tattoo preservation.
And what's the website that they can go to?
Yes, our website is www.savemyink.tattoo.
Got it. And I love that. I love that there's, more than one option to sort of take care of this because that insurance policy is a great idea. I mean, to
Well,
be able to.
and that was part of trying to make this readily accessible to as many people, as we possibly could.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also, and this is something that's been discussed on the podcast before, but, I think it's best to sort of make these arrangements ahead of time, right? Like it's sort of the best version is for your family to not have to really think too much and for these things to
Right.
sort of be planned out.
Right. It's an uncomfortable thing to talk about, but what is even more uncomfortable is, unfortunately, especially if someone passes away unexpectedly, finances for funerals and so forth aren't always there. So we figured with the pre-planning, we're taking away as much of the burden on your loved ones as we possibly could because they didn't have to worry about coming up with X amount of dollars. It's already taken care of, and that's one less thing on their plate that they have to worry about.
Yeah, that's smart. I love that. I don't know how much you could talk about. I am sort of curious in what you mentioned about corporate funeral homes not being a part of this. Is there any specific reason that they're not wanting to at least be involved at this point?
I mean, if you think about it, like any corporation or any franchised industrial thing, it's a lot more complicated to, get to the higher ups and talk to them and, bring it to their attention. So when a family goes to a corporate-owned funeral home, they're talking to that funeral home and that funeral home's directors, but they're still part of a bigger scale, a bigger picture. So unless it comes from the top that they're able to do it, then unfortunately their hands are tied.
Yeah.
And kind of a prime example of it, and I remember exactly which tattoo it was, but an individual passed away, and the wife was friends with a funeral director that happened to work for a corporate-owned funeral home. The funeral director was saying, "Oh yeah, I'll help you out. I'll, come to me. We've got this." And the funeral home and the corporation was like, "Sorry, you're not allowed to do it." So she was absolutely devastated that, her friend came to her in absolute time of need, and she had to tell her no, that she couldn't do something. So in most instances, when someone wants this done, it's more important to them to have this done than, any other aspect of the funeral. We had to really get creative, and what ended up happening is that family ended up going to another funeral home. Because they went to another funeral home, another family-owned funeral home, they were able to do this. And it was one of those things where, her friend was then left with the guilt of not being able to help her just because the corporate side of it said no. But that, like I said, we've had people leave funeral homes, go to another funeral home. We've had people travel 4 hours to go to a funeral home that was willing to do this. And it's the old saying that, if you don't offer it, somebody else will.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of the bones that I have to pick is that as a funeral director or someone in the funeral industry, whether you like to think about it this way or not, it is what it is. But, we are still in the service industry. You are there to serve that family and fulfill that family's wishes, and you can't let your own personal bias get in the way. Like, if you think that this is something that's radical and you don't agree with it, that's not for you to say. That's not your position within this industry to say because you disagree with it, it can't be done. And again, our point is if it's legal and you're not hurting anybody, it's not for you to say someone can't do it. And unfortunately, the only state that we can't operate out of is Washington, because they specifically have something stated within their funeral laws by code that prevents us from doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, right? Is that you are in the service industry and these are essentially last wishes for these people. It shouldn't matter if you agree or not. You
Right.
are there for the family, for the customer. You know, it's I don't love calling the deceased the customer, but you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
this is part of your job. And that
Right.
is kind of crazy to me, but I also kind of love that it's just you and other family-owned funeral homes sort of all working together. I do kind of enjoy that aspect of
Yeah.
it where it does feel more like a family thing that's happening.
Right.
But if it's going to cause issues where people are having to drive 4 hours or they have to, you know, unfortunately tell someone that they're not going to be able to do it or whatever, that's what's unfortunate is
Right.
that.
It's unfortunate because the only people that suffer is the families.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, of course, this is sort of their, you know, this is the toughest moment for them is having to deal with all this and having to deal with that is unfortunate. But it seems like you guys are doing great, and this is I don't know how this isn't the biggest thing in the funeral industry right now. I don't know why more people aren't talking about this. You know,
Well,
like we sort of.
you either love it or you hate it. It's not for everyone. Like I said, a lot of people will have that knee-jerk reaction. But in the same token, a lot of times when I kind of break it down for them and explain it to them, they're kind of like, okay, at first I was really opposed to this, but now that you've brought up these points, I can at least understand it. That's all we're asking. But
Yeah.
if if you don't like me for, you know, what we're doing, so be it. You know, no pun intended, I have pretty thick skin, and it's gonna take, you know, a lot to get under my feathers. Like, you know, I laugh, and it's an apples and oranges thing. But you know, like, we get a lot of people that will, you know, compare me to, you know, a Nazi or Ed Gein, and it's like, we're not even in the same ballpark or the same planet, because, you know, sure, I can see, you know, technically there's some similarities there, but in actuality, those were things that were done out of malice, whereas with what we're doing, it is done with consent, and it is done for the love of the individual, and done for the love of the memorialization aspect of it. So again,
Yeah, those
things that aren't even
comparisons.
comparable. No, right.
That's insane.
Oh
That's
yeah,
absolutely insane.
all the time, all the time. But again,
Really?
oh yeah, well, but it's
Wow.
also generally from people that just don't understand it, or someone that doesn't have tattoos, so they can't necessarily, you know, wrap
Yeah.
their head around why someone would want someone's tattoo. All kinds of things. And again, to each his own, that's
Sure.
fine. Because, you know, honestly, you wouldn't be a client of ours anyway, so who cares? No, I'm kidding.
I'm curious though, and you sort of just mentioned this, but I would assume the people that you're having to explain this to or convince or whatever it is, I'm assuming it's the family members or it's the people without tattoos that you're having.
Well, for the
Are there
most part,
people
for the
with tattoos that are also against this?
There are, because some people are under the concept of the tattoos are mine, they're for me,
Sure.
I want them, I'm keeping them, and that's cool too.
Yeah.
But again, we do want to be available for those people that do want this done, and you know, we don't want them to be judged for it.
I couldn't understand if you have these tattoos and a family member, yeah, I don't know. I guess I could see both sides, right? I could understand wanting to keep them, they're yours. Like I get that. If
Right.
maybe if like a if a family member was like requesting one of my tattoos and it wasn't necessarily my decision. I could see there being some sort of back and forth there, but I could never understand somebody who's just like, you shouldn't be allowed to do this. That's crazy.
It's kind of one of those things where, to the Western civilization, it's new, but you
Yeah.
know, to Japan or other cultures,
Of course.
it's not exactly a foreign thing. So
Yeah.
and again, anytime you're doing something new or doing something controversial, you're gonna get that feedback.
Yeah.
And you know, for us, it's one of those things where, you know, if you want to be negative, that's fine, because you're still talking about us. And
Yeah.
newsflash, you may be, you know, kind of hating on us, if you will, to someone that then goes, oh, you know what? That's actually kind of cool. I like that. Yeah, you
Yeah,
know,
any
so.
press is good press for
Right,
sure.
and we're totally cool with it.
I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with me about all of this stuff. I think what you guys are doing out there is very exciting, and I'm really genuinely excited to watch and continue to watch what you're doing and to watch things grow, and hopefully more people are starting to realize what's available for them and for their family members. And it was great chatting with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been my pleasure. You know, if anyone wants, they can check out our social medias, where we post a lot of our, you know, tattoo preservations, as well as kind of, you know, tattoo related memes and so forth, 'cause I have a very dry sense of humor, being, you know, what I'm exposed to, and some, you know, other things to look out for. Anybody in the Richmond, Virginia area, we will be at the Richmond Tattoo Convention this October. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but we'll be bringing something pretty big again this year. We brought a 3D arm last year, and we've got something special lined up again this year, as well as the prospect of, you know, possibly having this tattoo preservation and mortician journey immortalized in a reality TV series. So we've got some things, and hopefully we'll get some exposure and some eyes on us.
There, that's very cool. Very exciting. Yeah. What's the Instagram or the social media? What's the account?
So we've got Save My Ink Forever on Facebook, and then of course Save My Ink Forever on Instagram, but instead of the word four, it is the number four. So Save My Ink number four ever.
Got it. I am following you right now. Thanks so much, Kyle. I really appreciate it. This was a ton of fun.
Absolutely, brother. If you need anything else, you know where to find us.
Sounds good, buddy.
Stay above the green, my friend.
Will do. You do the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, take care.